I guess now I'll start my talk on gibberellins, or more importantly, drought stress, looking at how that affects elongation of stem tissue cell size. So some of you might have heard that drought is starting to become a slightly increasing problem for us in the sciences, and believe it or not, it is not exaggerated when people say that drought is becoming a more serious problem. Now, what are the implications of this? Is that drought stress actually can produce smaller plants, and this is just early on. You can already see that the growth potential of these plants changes dramatically just because of water. And there are a lot of things that happen when plants are exposed to increasing amount of drought, as you can see from well water, as you continue on to more and more stressful conditions. And there are a few things here, but cell expansion is one aspect that actually becomes apparent much earlier on as you just begin to initiate that stress, and so that became a good focus for our research. Additionally, when you're talking about cell expansion, gibberellins are very useful in talking about that because they are a hormone and they have a role in a lot of different aspects to do with growth, but cell internode and elongation was the main focus for our talk here. And you can see that by applying gibberellins, you can have a small amount of elongation to your stem tissue. If you want for reference, that's actually what the height should be. Just conversely, if you actually reduce the amount of gibberellins by some form of inhibition, you can actually start to see a shortening of plant height, of internode length, and this can happen either naturally because of some mechanism internally within the plant, its own stresses, mutations, or through artificially by some kind of chemical inhibition, which we also looked at in this study by applying paclobutrazole, or brand name Bonsai. Now, for gibberellin biosynthesis and the effect of paclobutrazole, it's important to note that this attacks the activity of an important enzyme specifically to the gibberellin biosynthesis by inhibiting its activity and thus reducing the production of gibberellins further down cascading. And so the purpose of the study is what? To really kind of look at what effect does drought stress have on plant size, and specifically talking about the elongation of these plants when talking about plant size. And also additionally, what effect does drought have on gibberellin GA homeostasis? So the objective then was to kind of study that internode and cell elongation affected by drought and to observe the impact that this might have on that homeostasis. So we had two levels of treatment. First of all, we had what would be the water level, so of non-stressed, which was at 35% volumetric water content, or at 15% volumetric water content for drought stress. And this was determined by a prior preliminary study that we did that kind of confirmed it for that type of cultivar for tomatoes. Additionally, to kind of add in that effect of gibberellin inhibition, we looked at plants that were given no application and others that were given a 4 milligram per plant drench applied at the same time that we initiated the drought stress treatments. And so we did it in a greenhouse bench, as you can see here, and for irrigation it was monitored and controlled by data loggers so that it can be properly maintained at the precise levels that we would want for the study. So looking from the macro level, the overall picture down, we first looked at plant height. And so what we saw is, yes, both obviously paclobutrazole, just because of its inhibition, does reduce size, and we can see it's PAC, and so does drought. And so we can also see WW means well-watered, and DS means drought-stressed. So we saw a drop just because of drought stress, but we also saw a drop because of this paclobutrazole. Going further down into internodes, we actually started beginning to see an interactive effect between drought stress and the paclobutrazole, such that when we went from well-watered without paclobutrazole to drought stress, there was a huge drop. But within the paclobutrazole treatments, there was no real significant difference, and presumably because of the extent of the reduction from paclobutrazole, there wasn't much further reduction due to drought stress. Next down, we actually looked at cell elongation, really kind of looking at cell size. So I used ImageJ to kind of get an idea of the cell sizes, because obviously, as you can see from the outline, cells aren't perfectly, you know, straight on both sides. So it's better to kind of get an idea of cell size, because most of the expansion is going to be on elongation as opposed to, you know, transversely. And what we saw was that, again, much like internodes, big drop from the well water to drought stress without the paclobutrazol, but that effect wasn't really seen in the paclobutrazol side of the project, just because, presumably, again, that extreme extent of the paclobutrazol. And we can see here that the no paclobutrazol in well water, which is a 35% volumetric water content, had very large cell size for these Perkinmann cells. And then when we went down to the drought stress, they were a little bit smaller. And then if we added paclobutrazol, it was even smaller still, with very little difference, if any, actually none, between the well water to non and drought stress inside the paclobutrazol. Next was really kind of looking at how is this affecting the genetics of the plant. So how is this affecting gibberellin metabolism, which could be affecting that plant height and elongation? So we looked at a couple of different genes that were encoding for enzymes later down in the pathway, which is actually these regulatory enzymes that kind of control GA metabolism. And so we looked at GA20 oxidase, which was important on multiple steps for GA precursors. GA3 oxidase, which is important in turning those precursors into that bioactive version. And then GA2 oxidase, which is involved in the inactivation of bioactive GAs into, obviously, the inactive. First, looking at GA20 oxidase, two genes of particular interest. Now, we looked at a lot of different genes, but I'm just showing you the ones that the most interesting for, you know, effective time. So we're here in the beginning process, and we look at GA20 oxidase 3, and we see a very large jump, actually, because of the paclobutrazol. Now, presumably this is because, and this is just, you know, yeah, paclobutrazol, if you can't see it. Presumably this is because of some kind of process within the plant to kind of maintain normal gibberellin levels in homeostasis, and it's not really prepared or evolved to acknowledge the effect of paclobutrazol. But if we looked at another gene encoding for GA20 oxidase, which is oxidase 4, we saw that it was not really responsive to paclobutrazol, but in fact had a role in drought, so in environmental stresses, as it was downregulated as a result from drought stress. Oh, and I should kind of point out here that all of these are, for each one, GA20 oxidase and GA20 oxidase 4 are normalized and relative to the no paclobutrazol well watered, such that, so paclobutrazol well watered here would be about 5 or so times fold higher than the no paclobutrazol well watered. Next in the line was GA3 oxidase 2, so encoding for GA oxidase 3 or GA3 beta hydroxylase, which turns the precursors into the bioactive version. And what we saw here, or at least was the most significant thing here, was that it responded mostly to the effect of paclobutrazol. So again, much more like we had seen in GA20 oxidase 3, where we saw a response in homeostasis internally to kind of increase levels because of that effect of paclobutrazol, kind of cutting things down upstream. GA3 oxidase 2 also did react in that same kind of manner. And finally, in the inactivation of GAs, we looked at GA2 oxidases, and interestingly here is the GA2 oxidase 5, which actually saw a downregulation in response to drought. That is to say that there was less of this gene expression encoding for this enzyme to create more inactivation of bioactive GAs under drought stress, which is was at first counterintuitive from what we would have hoped, because we would have thought, you know, drought stress, we want to inactivate more. But yeah. Additionally, beyond gibberellins, we also wanted to see what other things might have an effect on this cell expansion into node elongation. And so we looked a little bit at expansin enzymes, or specifically expansin genes. And what expansins are pretty much enzymes that help in the process of cell expansion. So what they do here is that they will actually cut the microfibers between the cellulose and hemicellulose, which allows, given the turgor pressure obviously, the ability for the cell wall to actually kind of stretch or creep, and then the microfibers begin to reattach afterwards, and that allows that slow kind of expansion of that cell. And after looking at a couple of different expansin genes, the ones that are really interested here is expansin 1, or for here, LE expansin 1, because we saw a downregulation of this gene in stem tissue in response to drought. So here being the normalized to NOPAC of Butrazol well watered, we saw in both the NOPAC and the pack a drop due to drought stress. And this is actually kind of great because previously there hasn't really been much reported on the effect of this gene having any type of role in drought stress or environmental stresses, specifically even in internodes. It was mostly just in fruit maturation. So in conclusion, we saw that, yes, drought stress does reduce the elongation of plant height, the internode length, and then even down to the cell size, the very low building blocks. And in almost all of these, except for obviously plant height, we saw an interaction effect between that drought stress and the pack labutrosol, depending on how much of an effect there was going on there. Genetically, we saw then that also drought does have an effect on GA metabolism, but although it has an effect on elongation, it doesn't affect all aspects of GA metabolism. That's to say, it doesn't downregulate all genes in relation to this GA metabolism. And like I had just mentioned previously, it's just because of the different roles of genes within the same family that may have an effect of this. So such that you really only need to hit maybe one or two genes within a gene family for that effect on enzyme production or metabolism, because the other ones may actually be involved in a different role. So you only really need to hit one to get that downregulated effect and different roles. Additionally, paclobutrazol also had the biggest effect on gibberellin pathway just because it had that specific direct role on limiting GA production. And finally, also the role of expansin enzymes. So LEEXP1 is independent of the GA pathway, as obviously it's not a GA, it's an expansin, but it also is specifically sensitive to drought stress. So this was really interesting in that, just seeing how that affects that gene expression for this enzyme in relation to these environmental stresses. With that, I would like to acknowledge the advisors that have put up with me during this research. Our Hort technician Sue Dove, all the help of the Hort department and the University of Georgia, as well as the funding from USDA and the SCRI Mines Project. With that, we have time for a quick question or two. Yes. Oh, yes. So all of the genes were actually normalized, were normalized to tubulin and actin within cells. And then we just kind of go on that and then kind of made, and just for the effect of presenting, not obviously the statistics, everything, I just kind of put it towards the, what I kind of consider the NOPAC with butrazol, well watered, just kind of like the control.
Was it real time or
quantified? No, it was RT-PCR. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, paclobutrazol is known to increase ADA, chronodella modulation. Have you measured ADA increase, or have you measured the activity of Adela?
Okay, so the question was, with paclobutrazole, was there an effect on DEL or ABA? I didn't look at ABA, and DEL wasn't included in this just because there wasn't a significant change or differences among treatments for DEL. So, which was interesting, there were what appeared to be trends, but again, these stats weren't significant, so I didn't include in this presentation.
Could you explain your rationale why you
used
gene family?
Wait, can you just repeat the question?
Well, what do you mean? For example, you have GA20 oxidase of 1 to 34.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just pick 1, why should you pick 4?
Well, if you have several genes that you know are related, the question was why pick a gene family rather than just one or two genes? And if you have all these genes within a family and you know that they correspond to this enzyme or to this pathway in some way, then it's interesting to look at, do all of these have an effect? There's only one of them, and if it's only one of them, which one? And it's always good to kind of do confirmation despite if one person just says it's only this one gene or another one. If you have time, it's good to just look at everything, you know. With that, I'd actually think I'm over time, so I'm going to have to cut out. Thank you very much.